All right, if you have your Bible, I want you to open it with me to the book of Mark, where we should begin this morning reading a bit of the story of the resurrection, Mark chapter 16. If you need a Bible, there's one there around you. It's the blue one. We're going to talk this morning about hope. What a difference a day makes. Isn't that true? What a difference a day makes. I think it was 55 degrees yesterday. What a difference a day makes. One day, all of the followers of Jesus Christ were wandering around in discouragement and despair because their Savior had been crucified. In Mark chapter 16, this is what we read. And when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices that they might come to anoint Jesus. Very early the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. But you go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you." Just as he told you. I love that the Bible says in this particular place that this man, who was an angel in white, said to those who had come, "Tell his disciples and whom?" Peter, because Peter had especially stumbled in unbelief. And he had failed and denied Jesus. But the angel has a word for the disciples and a special word for Peter. Because Peter had not measured up to belief. He had failed like many of us who are here today. And I hope that this message will come to some of you who would number yourselves among the disciples. I'm a follower of Jesus. And others of us who are here who would more closely associate with Peter. Because we're more quick to deny. We understand what it is to have failed in our belief. And to have come up against something that seems impossible. And have thrown in the towel and said, "No, I can't believe that." And I know that some of you are here today and you're numbered more with Peter than the disciples. And you can look back over your spiritual history and you can see a bit of failure that maybe you're not too proud of, as I'm sure Peter was. So today, hear the word. The word of the angel comes to you and said, "I want you to know that Jesus is risen just like he said." He's alive. Now, what a difference one day makes, because that was not the case yesterday. Yesterday, he was in the grave. And the day before that, he was on the cross. And that's where he went to be crucified for the sins of the world. What a difference one day makes. It's March Madness. What a difference one day makes. You can look in the Bible for all kinds of episodes when one day changes everything. I thought I'd show you one more. Because this Jesus, who was in the grave and now raised, comes back sometime later to speak to one particular person. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 9. By way of just showing to you how one day changes everything, look at Acts chapter 9. And there we find one man walking along a road, and this Jesus, who had been crucified, he was buried, and now he is alive, has to take the position as the comeback player of the year. Jesus makes a comeback, and here he is, because on this road, on a road to Damascus, there is a man by the name of Saul who's traveling. And it happened that as he was approaching Damascus, in verse 3 of Acts 9, suddenly a light flashed from heaven around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice around him saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Well, who are you?" And he said, can you read it? "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Get up and enter the city, and I'll tell you what you must do." Now, wait a minute. I thought Jesus was crucified. No, he's very much alive. Very much alive. And he comes out of heaven to meet with Saul, and he takes him face to face. And yesterday, Saul was on his way to Damascus to kill Christians. Today, he meets the living Christ. What a difference one day makes. Saul's life was forever changed. I'd like to suggest to you that this could be the day for some of you here that your life is forever changed. And something happens today when you understand the magnitude of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he has not died, that this religious leader, this great prophet, this fabulous teacher, this miracle worker is really who he says he is, the Son of God, and he lives forevermore. He's alive. And maybe today, for the first time, or for the first time in a very long time, you will come face to face with Christ. And what a difference this day of resurrection might make for you. Now, to help us on our way this morning, I'd like you to turn to the passage I'm going to preach from. And we've already looked at two, but those are just by way of introduction. I'd like you to look at the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and examine with me a little bit of the message that this man, Paul, his name was Saul, when he came face to face with Christ, he changed his name, God changed his name, and he became a proclaimer of Jesus Christ. It had such a profound influence on his life that his whole life changed. And what we learn about the Apostle Paul is that because he met Christ, he now was going to spend the rest of his life proclaiming Christ and making sure that everyone else in the world could know that he was the Son of God. And he taught about Christ with wisdom. He made people understand who Jesus was in order that we might grow up in the knowledge of Christ. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25, this is what we read about Paul saying, "Hey, this is the difference that meeting Christ made in my life." Verse 25, "Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is, the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generation, but is now manifest to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Let's say that together. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right, I couldn't hear it in the gathering. Let's say it again. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right, that's the message that Paul said, here is what now I give my life for. One day, I wanted to destroy Christians. Then I met Christ, and my life is forever changed. And now, it is my mission, it's what the work God has given to me, to proclaim the mystery which has been hidden from all generations previous. This is the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, we have to talk about what the mystery means. When the Bible talks about mystery, what does it mean? Something that's really difficult to understand? Does it mean something that is impossible and only a true sleuth can understand it? When the Bible uses the word mystery, as it does in this text, twice, what is Paul saying? Well, the context helps us in verse 26 that this is the mystery that has been hidden from ages past. In other words, until this time of the proclamation that Paul makes, it was not possible, God did not reveal this truth to anyone else. But when Christ came and he gave himself on the cross and he rose from the dead, this mystery was unfolded. Not something hard to understand, but just something previously not known. That is, that Christ can be in you and will be the hope of glory. Now, in the Old Testament, it was prophesied that the Messiah would come, right? We always knew that there would be a Christ who would come. All of Israel had a longing that one day the Messiah would come. So that's not the mystery. And furthermore, they knew that he was promised and one day he would come and he would be a deliverer. That was not new. But what is new? What is new, first of all, is that when this mystery was unfolded, it would be unfolded that Christ would be in you. Christ would be in you, not with you, but in you. And that's exactly what Jesus said, isn't it? He said, I am with you, but I will be in you. I am with you, I am in you. What's the difference? Since the resurrection of Jesus, he has come to take up permanent residence within those whose life follows him by faith. This is what Jesus said in John 14. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and we will make our abode with him. This is a tremendous mystery that previously had not been revealed. It was not the experience of the Old Testament that Christ would come and permanently dwell within the life of a follower. This is a mystery. And it is made reality because of the resurrection. Now, how does it happen for you that you get to experience Christ in you? It comes by faith in understanding what happened on Friday. That's where it begins. You see, being able to appreciate and experience the resurrection, the new life in Jesus, is contingent upon your understanding what happened on Friday. What happened Friday? Yeah, Christ went to the cross. On Friday night, he was crucified. Now, this is what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This is a verse that maybe we could read out loud together, and you'll see the connection of how it is that Christ can live in us. Let's read this together. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. There's the phrase, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This is the mystery. This is the unfolding and the unveiling of God's mission of sending his Son, that he would send his Son and his Son would live in you. But it is contingent upon your understanding what happened Friday, and this is the way Paul put it. I actually have been crucified with Christ. When Christ died, I, by faith, died with him. And everything about myself died there too. My sinfulness, myself, my ego, everything about me and my past, I died to self that I might live to God. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives inside of me. Has that happened for you? Has that happened for you? That you understand what Friday night is about. And you embrace the work of Jesus on the cross, because the great mystery of this new reality of Christ being alive from the dead is contingent on Christ dying and then rising, and your experiencing this new life of Christ in you begins with your understanding of what happened on Friday night. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We understand that the crucifixion of Friday night underscores two massive realities. Number one, how serious our sin is to God, right? How serious it is that we are sinners, that Christ would come to the cross and give himself on our behalf. And then how massive is the love of God, that he loves us enough to send his son. What a difference a day makes. Christ is alive, and so he can now be in you. Do you understand that the very same way that Jesus came to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus and said, "Hey, Saul, Saul," he might walk through the rows here today and say to you, "Hey, Pete, Jill, Tom, what are you doing? I came for you. I came for you." Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the message that Paul proclaims, that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. That because Christ lives and he's raised from the dead, he can live in you. A Savior who is not alive could not live in us. But he is alive, isn't he? And so he can live inside of us. And the text tells us that if Christ is in you, then what results is that he brings to us the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Now what is that? Well, Romans chapter 8 verse 11 mentions to us that the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is alive. And if he lives in you, he will give life to your mortal body as well. If Christ is alive, if he is our hope, then he will give this hope to you, the hope of glory. What is this hope of glory that Paul referred to in Colossians? The hope of glory is a hope of eternity. It's hope of being where he is. It's hope of heaven and of knowing him. This is the way Peter puts it in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's read it together. "He caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." All right, that's the hope of glory. Reserved in heaven for you. It's put on hold for you. Why? Because the price for that has been paid. That Christ has accomplished that for you. And now, because Christ has been, in the most wonderful sense, born again, he's been raised from the dead, he's been resurrected, then it is possible for you to be born again to a living hope, to obtain an inheritance, to obtain eternity, eternal life, which is imperishable, undefiled, it will not fade away, and it's on reserve for you in heaven. What's the key? Christ must be in you in order for you to have that inheritance. Christ must be in you by faith. You too must come to Christ and say, "Lord Jesus, I understand who you are and I receive you." Paul said this is the mystery. This has not been known previously. But Christ can now be in you. And if he is in you, then this is the hope of glory. You may have eternal life, preserved in heaven for you, set aside so that you won't miss it. What's the best thing you ever found? What's the best thing you ever found in your life? What's the most valuable thing you ever lost? Maybe you should ask that. What's the most valuable thing you ever lost? What's the best thing you ever found? I have a pastor friend of mine who told me he was driving on the road of a highway out in California, and he saw this paper flying past his car. And he kept seeing these little pieces of green paper fly past his car. And sure enough, he was slowing down, and they were about this big. He's a pastor. So he pulled his car over very fast, and he started to examine all of these pieces of paper on the side of the road, and sure enough, they were dollar bills. And he started scurrying and picking up all these dollar bills, and he picked them up in massive doses. I mean, his total finding had a comma in it. That's how much it was. And he had several thousands of dollars that he had found on a highway in California. Almost makes you want to go there. And he did what everyone should do. He turned it into the police. And they put it on reserve. And it was probably not legally earned money. And so it was never claimed, and he got it. But he said the next day, you know, this was quite a day to discover thousands of dollars on the side of the road. The next day he was driving by, he drove by again that place. And sure enough, he said in a tree, a little green piece of paper caught his eye. He pulled over and found another $100 bill. That's a good day. Finding something you didn't expect. A mystery. Something not previously revealed. Let me take you up a notch from finding $5,000 on the side of a road. What if you found an inheritance that would last for all of eternity? That would be imperishable, would never fade away. It would be undefiled, could never be corrupted, had no taint of sinfulness or disappointment or sorrow or pain. What if you could find a hope that would last forever and could be reserved for you in heaven? Would you receive it? Would you accept it? There is no greater gift that God could give to us than this gift, the gift of His Son. And through Him to understand that you can experience God living in you and knowing with certainty of an eternal hope, the hope of glory, a hope that will not fade away. Christ in you. God raised Christ on the third day and granted that He should become visible, seen not to all people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand. And He told us to preach about Him and to solemnly testify that He is the one who has been appointed as the judge of the living and the dead. Of this Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that through His name, everyone who believes in Him receives the forgiveness of sins. That is the message of Easter. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not a new message. This is not a new message, is it? This is preached every year in many churches around the country on this day. And you've heard it before. But have you accepted it? And have you responded to it? Have you acknowledged that Jesus Christ loved you so much that He came into the world and He gave Himself for you? You must believe in Him for the forgiveness of sins and receive Him into your life that you could live out the reality of Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a difference that would make in your life if you would do that. I read a story this week about Count Nicholas von Zinzendorf. Not a name you hear every day. A Moravian from the 1700s who was in Dusseldorf in an art gallery, and he looked up and he saw a painting. It is called Ecce Homo, Latin words for behold the man. It's a picture of Jesus with Pilate and a crown of thorns on his head, and the inscription under the painting read this: all this I have done for thee, what doest thou for me? Nicholas von Zinzendorf was changed that day. What a difference that day made for him when he saw what Christ had done for him. He responded by faith, not to pay Christ back, but to live in the new reality of Christ in him, hope of glory. And he went on to lead a movement of people in Saxony in the 1700s to become people who were known for two things. They were known for their love of the cross of Jesus. And they wore the symbol, they carried the symbol of the cross. And those Moravians in the 1700s were known for their love for the cross. We wear a cross today as jewelry. And it's beautiful. And it's gold, silver, decorated with stones. But we should be careful not to wear the precious cross as jewelry without understanding the magnitude of what it represents, the death of our Savior. And if it does, that's great. They were known, almost obsessively so, as being fixed on the cross where Christ died. They were also known as the Easter people. That's a good title. The Easter people. Because they celebrated the resurrection of Christ. They were called by others Easter people. And they said of themselves, we are our Savior's happy people. I want you to be happy. Are you happy today? Are you happy to be in church to celebrate the resurrection? We are our Savior's happy people. And they went on to lead a massive missions emphasis so that all the world would know who this Christ was. And that's what we want you to know too. Who this Christ is. He loved us and gave himself for us. Christ in us, hope of glory. What a difference a day could make. I pray that this will be your day. Let's pray together. God, we pray today that you will lead us to you, to know you, and to love you with all of our heart. And I ask that you will lead us to know the reality of Christ in us, hope of glory, promise of new life. Lord Jesus, I ask today that the resurrected Jesus will be here among us, calling us to a life of following after you. A life that is transformed. A life that knows the reality of the indwelling Jesus. And I pray that if there are any who are here today who as yet have not placed their faith in Jesus Christ, that this might be the day that life would change forever. And that we would understand the reality of the difference the resurrection of Jesus Christ has made. Lead us, O God, into a newness of life that comes by following after the Lord, whom we proclaim today, teaching and admonishing all who can hear my voice. Lord, I pray that you will speak to them to become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, our living Savior. And may our lives be changed forever because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This we pray for your glory and for our good. In the name of Christ, amen.